We begin overseas today. On Tuesday, the European Union announced it would join the United States with a series of harsher sanctions against Russia, including moves to cut off financing to two state-owned banks in Russia and an end to the export of certain goods and technologies.
Russia is once again isolating itself from the international community, setting back decades of genuine progress. And it doesn't have to come to this. It didn't have to come to this. It does not have to be this way. This is a choice that Russia, and President Putin in particular, has made.
As President Obama speaking yesterday, in addition to the ratcheted up U.S. sanctions, the EU will severely restrict Russia's access to EU markets and will enforce an embargo on new arms sales to Russia. The sanctions will also limit Russian access to certain oil technologies. But President Obama insisted that the development was not just the ghost of past conflicts.
It's not a new Cold War. What it is a very specific issue related to Russia's unwillingness to recognize that Ukraine can chart its own path. And I think that if you listen to President Poroshenko, if you listen to the Ukrainian people, they've consistently said they seek good relations with Russia. What they can't accept is Russia arming separatists who are carrying out terribly destructive activities inside of Ukraine, thereby undermining the ability of Ukraine to govern itself peacefully. That's something that no country should have to accept.
I spoke with Ambassador Michael McFaul, who served as U.S. ambassador to Russia from January 2012 to February 2014. He said there's a lot more work to be done to curb Russia's behavior.
I think it's the threat of new sanctions that change actors' behaviors. And I would say this generally, that's what the sanctions literature in political science shows, right? It's the threat. Once the sanctions are implemented, the target usually doubles down and blames those doing sanctions. And I think that will happen with Putin, of course. The feedback effect from sanctions once they're implemented is a long one. It takes time. It has to affect the economy. It has to affect individuals, both the citizens at large and specific economic interest groups. And that, you know, judging from other historical experiences, takes years to have that feedback effect. Unfortunately, I think that's what we're in for here with Russia.
And those economic effects, Mr. Ambassador, that you mentioned, surely are a two-way street. We've seen Europe lag behind even the strength that the U.S. has wanted from sanctions because they're interconnected with Russia more than we are economically.
Well, first of all, it's not a symmetric two-way street. I think that's a big misconception that somehow it equally affects Russia as it does Germany or the United Kingdom, and most certainly not the United States. It's asymmetric. Russia is just as dependent on Europe as Europe is dependent on Russian energy supplies. And when it comes to the financial sector, Russia is much weaker than the rest of Europe and the United States. They rely on the dollar and access to capital markets. It's not symmetric. I don't know what's coming next, but most certainly the rhetoric out of every major capital in Europe has changed literally in just the last 48 hours.
There's a lot of concern in Washington. You hear grumbling that the French are still supplying weapons to the Russians, including aircraft carriers, and that they're just too intertwined financially with the Russian military machine to get serious.
Well, I don't know what the French are going to do. I know my personal opinion on that. I think it is outrageous that they are moving ahead with that sale. I mean, just think of the irony here. There's a debate about whether Ukraine has the right to buy weapons from the West, but somehow Russia has the right to buy weapons from the West in a crisis like this. I just think, you know, something more needs to be done there, particularly with that sale, even symbolically freezing it for a while.
Mr. Ambassador, I'm interested in your take on another aspect of this as well. We've been talking about economic sanctions, which have a certain effect. As we all know, there's increasing pressure from within the United States body politic to start arming the Ukrainian government against Russian-backed rebels. At what point in this process, given your experience, does the United States flip in its political mind, or I guess in the mind of the White House, that it might be time to start supplying lethal aid to Ukraine?
Well, I'm glad you raised this because the focus in the press and in the policy debates is often, let's see how we can change Putin's mind so that he will change his support for the rebels. But in fact, if you look at what is really changing Putin's behavior and the rebels' behavior, it's been Ukrainian actions on the ground, not this feedback loop that we've been talking about earlier. And I think that should continue. I think anything that can be done to strengthen the Ukrainian economy, the Ukrainian democracy, Kiev's, I would say, flawed approach so far to winning the hearts and minds in eastern Ukraine, all of those things should be a very prominent focus of attention of Western leaders. And by the way, you can do all those things without sanctions and without needing Putin to be part of the equation. And you can do many things well before we get to the debate about whether to arm Ukraine with lethal weapons. There are many, many steps before then. You know, if I read what's coming out of eastern Ukraine, they're believing the Russian propaganda. We need to engage in reaching out to those folks. That's part of a strategy of winning, in my view, not just the military part, but the economic part, the information part, the reconciliation part. Those are all things we can do now that will eventually help to reunite Ukraine.
And one last question, and then we'll let you go, Mr. Ambassador. I have been wondering myself and very curious, after reports earlier this week or late last week, that there was actually artillery fire from within the borders of Russia across the border into eastern Ukraine seemed to me like a major escalation. It's one thing to supply arms, which we do and other countries do. It's another thing to participate in the fight directly. There was not a great deal of Western outrage and Western response to Russia reportedly firing artillery into eastern Ukraine at Ukrainian positions. Why not?
Well, I hope we'll see it this week. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's a major escalation. It's a transformation of a civil war to an interstate war, if that's true. And all indications are that what I've read from what the Obama administration has released, it does seem to be true. And I hope we'll see a much more comprehensive response. Even if sanctions don't work in the short run, you have to put them in place to punish bad behavior, just to preserve the norms of the international system.
Ambassador Michael McFaul served as U.S. Ambassador to Russia from January 2012 to February 2014. Mr. Ambassador, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
There are a lot of voices in Europe and especially in the United States who are saying finally, now that European governments and the U.S. have imposed stricter sanctions on Russia. At the same time, Dutch officials have reportedly been having difficulty accessing the site of the Malaysian Airlines passenger jet that was blown out of the sky nearly 2 weeks ago. It seems that what is already a national tragedy for the Netherlands is only being further complicated by the increasingly violent conflict in eastern Ukraine. We're going to turn now to Peter Feit. He's a Dutch diplomat and former special representative to the European Union. Mr. Ambassador, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I mentioned at the top a lot of people in Europe and in the U.S. saying, finally, this latest round of sanctions approaching sectoral sanctions against Russia. Do you think this is the appropriate time for a real ratcheting up of action against Vladimir Putin?
Well, Todd, I'm out of government now, so what I'm saying is a personal view. But yes, I'm pleased that the European Union, together with the United States, have agreed on what is now called Tier 3 sanctions, that is, those measures that affect finance, the banking sector, the energy sector, and defense of Russia. So I think that is a major step because it increases the pressure on President Putin to comply with international norms of behavior. And in the particular case of the attack on the Malaysian aircraft, it will also hopefully help him to cooperate more significantly than before.
Mr. Ambassador, this sounds like kind of a naive question, but was it really in Western Europe where you have worked primarily the downing of the passenger jet that has finally galvanized European action against Putin? I mean, we've reported over and over about the interconnectedness of the European economy, the understandable desire to avoid a blowback effect of sanctions. This seems to have finally overcome that.
Well, it certainly has, but over the past weeks and months, we have witnessed a continued violation of norms and principles by the Russian government. And I agree that initially the reaction by European governments was somewhat lackluster, but now they have galvanized, and the sanctions that have been agreed now are significant. I think everybody agrees, including our captains of industry, that there will be no more business as usual for a long time to come. And this may affect also our own interests. But we think this is necessary because of the political reasons that I mentioned before. we need to make the point to Putin that he has to comply with international standards and that he has to cease interfering in Ukraine and that his annexation of the Crimea was unacceptable.
Ambassador Peter Feit, the statement, the end of business as usual, makes me think of a hypothetical. How much different do you think the response to MH17 being shot down in Ukraine would have been if there were 100 Americans on board that plane?
Well, let me put it this way. For the Dutch people, this is our own 9/11. The Dutch character, if I may say this, can be resumed in three words. We are emotional, yet at the same time, we value the rule of law, like Americans do. And third, we are traders and merchants. We did this in Manhattan, and we did this when we were owning other parts of real estate in the world centuries ago. And this now applies also to our relationship with Russia. I think if this had happened to the United States, the reaction would have been more forceful. But then again, your economic dependencies and your relationship in terms of trade and investments are less significant than for us in Europe. And secondly, let me also add that the United States is a sovereign state, a sovereign government, a single decision-making authority, whereas we are working in a European Union where we try to reach consensus, but where some of our member states have a different agenda than others. So I grant you that the American response would have been more forceful, but I think with this new round of sanctions, we are taking a step further towards making the point, and we hope that this will be understood by the Russian leadership.
Peter Feit is a Dutch diplomat and former special representative for the European Union. Mr. Ambassador, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you very much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.